Well, I think deliverance and spiritual warfare is neglected for a lot of other things, but I think we're really coming to the end of that time because God's people are going to realize that they're being made war on, and if they don't fight, they're going to lose. You know, like that we have not because we ask not, and He has delegated authority unto us, and that means we have the right to use the power or not. But I can tell you, if we don't, we'll just get our heads beat in. You know, we'll lose the battle because we're not believing. He said that His children were destroyed for lack of understanding or lack of knowledge. You know, and that's putting a notice on us, right? God, we have authority, and the Lord wants us to use it. You know, in Luke chapter 10, 17, a 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. Well, who was taking care of them when they weren't there, the demons? Well, the truth was, they were probably running rampant, just like they are today, in these cases, doing whatever they want. Believers going to God and in faith and asking for this and asking for that. But let me say something. That is not the same thing as exercising your authority. It's a good thing to do. And if that's all you know, then do it. But there's a place to exercise authority. And you really don't have to go and ask God because He delegated that authority to you. You know, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, He came to destroy the works of the devil. And we have too. You know, we got the same calling to destroy the works of the devil. That's why we're here. Not just to grow up for ourselves, but to do the work of God here on earth, right? And by the way, take back this world, right? The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, right? Praise be to God. Well, anyway, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Now, I believe that what was happening was exactly that. You know, he was seeing Satan being cast down. Now, I know that that has, at that particular point, a future reference to the time when Satan will be cast down in Revelation chapter 12, obviously. And, but you know, they overcame him. Who was it on earth? They were speaking the words and acting the faith so that the angels of God would act upon that faith and those confessions and cast down physically the spiritual principalities and powers, Satan himself. So they did, you know, and of course, I believe it was happening right here in a spiritual way. Jesus was seeing them destroy the kingdom of Satan. Satan had promoted his throne above the stars of heaven, and just as he said, and they were throwing him down because they were taking their position above him. He was under their feet, praise be to God. They didn't know that. Came with joy. Even the demons are subject unto us. They got the revelation, you know, that Satan was under their feet. They had authority. It's got how long do God's people get beat up until they realize that, right? Oh, praise the Lord. That behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Of course, we've studied serpents. Serpent spirits have the poison in their heads, which is a mental thing, you know, a deception. Right? And scorpion spirits have their poison in their tail, the name scorpizo means to penetrate and put to flight. It represents the kind of spirits that cause you to run from the devil. You know, like rejection and fear and anxiety and guilt and shame and unbelief and so on and so forth. These kinds of spirits, I believe, are scorpion spirits. Scorpizo. And So he gave us authority. That means we have the right to use power. He gave us authority over all the power. We have the right to use power. So what happens when we don't use it? Well, sometimes God has mercy and sometimes he doesn't. Because there needs to be a cost for ignoring his word. There needs to be a cost for running after the world and not doing the things that are much more important, which is to seek his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. What is his kingdom? His kingdom is where he rules in your life. And where he doesn't rule is when you don't give him that ability, because how could two walk together except they be agreed? So you come into agreement with him that you do have authority, and then he can use you, right? Praise be to God. If you don't, you're just going to resist him, or you won't understand what he's saying to you, or you won't take dominion over Satan when he shows up and any kind of curse he's putting on you or whatever. Some people die before their time because they don't understand this, right? It's going to be very, very important. It is now. It is more important now than it's ever been in your lifetime. Understand this. Do this. Get used to exercising your authority over Satan. Get used to spending time in prayer and spiritual warfare and fasting and mentioning the brethren around you, you know, and doing warfare for them, doing warfare for UBM, right? Doing warfare for the brethren, you know. Please spend time doing this. Everybody around you needs it, you know. Praise be to God. Well, he said, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Notice there's a condition there. If you take authority over the demons, nothing will in any wise hurt you. Are you connecting those two phrases? I mean, he's saying you have authority. And if not, you'll get hurt. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. So these, of course, are these fallen spirits that called serpents and scorpions. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes, amen to that. And the Lord warned us, you know, in chapter 11 and in verse 20, said, but if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Notice, the kingdom of God comes when demons aren't exercising authority over you. Because then God can give it to him. When you're being ruled by demons, you are not submitting to him. And his kingdom isn't manifested in you, and you are not bearing fruit. I want to say this. There's a lot of people out there that know they've had a trouble with demons. And they won't take the time to go against that thing, to fast and pray, or get some brethren together to cast them out. They won't take the time to do that. They just too busy in the world and too afraid to go and humble themselves to other people, etc. You're not going to bear fruit. The kingdom of God is not going to come in that particular part of your life unless you cast out those rulers that don't belong there. Cast them down. Amen. You have authority to do this. And don't be so proud that your brethren can. Maybe Christian could do it. Oh, I mean, we're told in Psalm 149 that God's honor have all of his saints, right? And he goes on to say, when the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. Well, they are to him anyway. You know, the strong man, devil, who's been given authority over this world because of man giving in to sin, and but he's guarding his own court, his own goods, you know, what belongs to him. However, the Lord said, but one stronger than he shall come upon him, and that's the Lord, and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now the Lord already did that. The Bible says he delivered us out of the power of darkness. He took their armor away. And he said to us, sick them. You know, he has authority as long as he can convince you that he has authority. But he's been conquered. His dominion is lost. And just like when you get a healing, saints, you believe you have received, you don't pay attention to what's happening between here and there. That is the manifestation of it. You pay attention to what you have prayed for, what you believed you've received, and the same thing for taking authority over demons. You believe that you have authority, and you believe that they have to obey you, and you're not going to pay any attention to what you see with your eyes until it's manifested, right? That's fighting the good fight of the faith, right? Taketh from him his old armor wherein he trusted. Jesus did that. And he divideth his spoils. And he that is not with me is against me. So, you know what? How do we get to be with him in receiving these divided spoils, you know? How do we get to be with him? Well, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to come into agreement with him. Yes, Lord, I see what you're saying. I see that you've given me this dominion. And Lord, I know it doesn't please you when I'm not taking this dominion. And I know I'm not growing in the kingdom, and the kingdom is not growing in me when I'm not taking this dominion. So Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I want to be one of your warriors, right? Against me. Just notice this, folks. It's very clear. If you're not in agreement with God, you're just hindering him. That's all. He wants to take the kingdom in you, and he wants your cooperation to do this. And it's just not going to happen if you don't fight. And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. I've always said that this means that if you're not gathering the spoils that Jesus trusted to you to take, you already bound the strong man. If you're not gathering the spoils, then the devil's going to be gathering your spoils. If you're not chasing demons, you're going to be chased by them. The Lord is willing to give us understanding about how to apply this in circumstances by going through these exercises, and I got to tell you, I believe that a lot of Christians right now are going through these exercises. They're going through boot camp, and in some cases, they're not handling it very good. They're really getting beat up, and this should motivate you to run to the Word of God. You know, make sure you're taking advantage of every promise and every command and every authority that he's given to you, right? So praise be to God. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. And now somebody can come along and help you and cast out a demon, but I can tell you what, if you don't learn to keep it out or learn to take care of it yourself, God's not going to treat you like a baby all your life. I mean, it goes on to tell you, the unclean spirit, when that's a true wall, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will turn back unto my house whence I came out. So they're always going to attempt to do that because the Lord tells you this. So when you get delivered, what are you supposed to do? Well, you better find out what faith is all about and find out that you have these rights to say no to the devil. Right? And when he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Well, there's no excuse for that, saints. You need to fill yourself up with good things, not just be an empty vessel because the demon leaves and you don't want to put nothing in there that's worthy enough to keep him out, you know? Now, you know, it's hard to say, you know, who's a Christian, but we know know that the Lord has given us dominion, and He expects us to exercise it. And yes, you do take care of babies. You stick the bottle in their mouth. You clean up their mess, and so on and so forth. But just how long is that going to happen before God considers that you should have now taken the time and done something with your life? He may let you just do unto the devil for a while, you know. That's not good. That's terrible, as a matter of fact. Let me just share this verse with you that was given to me recently when I was asking the Lord a question. And He just gave me this by random. In Job 22, I'll read verse 26 through 30. It says, "For then, thou shalt hate thyself in the almighty. Will you delight yourself in the Lord? Is He your desire? Is He the one you're searching out? Is it to be a disciple of His, sitting at His feet, a thing that's important to you? Are you a Martha or are you a Mary, sitting at the Lord's feet, choosing the better part that will not be taken away from you?" You know, there's lots of Marthas, you know, struggling and, you know, being anxious and troubled about many things, like Jesus said, and running around serving, you know. But there's one thing that's more important that is eternal, and that's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And if you choose that part, let me tell you, God will take care of the rest of it. Choose that part, He'll take care of the rest of it. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Remember what the kingdom of God is? You're not casting out devils, and that's not the kingdom of God. Yes, that's what Jesus was saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise be to God. And He said, "And shalt lift up thy face unto God. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He will hear thee. Thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." Wow, He's given to His children authority. Princes and princesses are taking authority underneath the king all the time. Might as well take advantage of the fact that the Lord's given you that authority, and you really do, you really are somebody in this world. Right? In Him. "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And light shall shine upon thy ways." Oh, praise be to God. "And when they cast thee down," because that does happen every once in a while, that's one of those trials too, you know, "thou shalt say, there is lifting up." Lifting up. So it'll be coming out of your mouth. "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There is lifting up. Praise be to God. He will lift you up. And anybody that is humble, He will lift them up. And anybody that is proud, He will cast them down. And the humble person, He will save. Praise be to God. "He will deliver even him that is not innocent." Well, that's what Jesus was doing in His day, right? Those rebellious Jews, my goodness, you know, I mean, He went around casting out demons and healing the sick and doing miracles and things like that. And people saw these things, and yet they were ready to crucify Him. What a bunch of self-willed, stubborn people. Well, you say, yeah, you realize that because you read the story, but do you look around you and see how many there are today? They're in the same boat. "That He will deliver even him that is not innocent. Yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands." Oh, praise the Lord. So, because your hands are clean, God will use you to deliver people. Now, remember that. Cleanness of thy hands. That's very important. Now, if your works are filthy and dirty, you might have lying signs and wonders, but you won't have much from the Lord. There's a lot of that going on. A lot of people out there that have filthy works, they're not sanctified. They don't want to clean themselves up in God, but they want position, they want authority, and well, I tell you, God will give it to you, but it won't be the kind you want, nor the kind He wants. So, remember this, Revelation chapter 5, and verse 9, says, "And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain, and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests." We're a kingdom of priests, aren't we? 19:5-6, right? "Kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth." And it says, they reign, some translations, and they says they will reign, but it don't say that. It says, "and they reign upon the earth." Wow. And no, that's what we've been put here for. We're the princes and princesses of the Lord here. You know, we've been given authority by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And if we don't do it, well, who will? You know, there's a very small portion of Christianity that's actually taking this kind of authority over Satan. Almost all of them throw their hands up in the air and think it's normal to live under the dominion of Satan. No, you need to exercise your faith. You need to get enough familiar with the Word of God that you know what's yours. I mean, be a good lawyer. Find out your rights. Not in the world. That's what the foolish Christians do. Your rights in the kingdom. You're running around trying to exercise your rights in the world. You don't understand that you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ, God. You're dead. You don't have any rights in the world. You have all your rights in the kingdom of God. Now, go and take authority over the principalities and the powers and the rulers of this darkness. Praise be to God. Go and set the captives free and opening the prison to them that are bound, etc., etc., etc. You know, thing that the Lord taught us. Oh, Isaiah 61, anointing was given to Jesus, and he said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." He gave it to us, right? So he gave us that dominion we're supposed to be exercising. Our first father, Adam, he lost that dominion because he fell into sin. Our last Adam, Jesus Christ, our spiritual father of the born again creation, he restored this to us. Go and find out your rights. If you haven't read Sovereign God for us and through us, you should do that because it tells you how this dominion was passed on to us. And a few examples in there just to show you, you know, the Lord still does it today. And find out what's yours and please start exercising it. Don't you get caught up in the whirlwind of daily life cumulative effect of exercising faith in prayer every day, wherever you go, is powerful. Wow, the fruit you can bear, and wow, the kingdom of Satan that you cast down. Right? That's what you're here for. I mean, the Lord could save you and take you right on to heaven, but no, it's not what He saved you for. He saved you to do a work here, useful in. And how wonderful that'll be when we're all gathered together in the kingdom and able to see that God used us to do this, you know. And He wants to. You know, it was man's sin that cast the earth into corruption, and God that He is going to bring destruction to this corruption and this curse that's ruling over God's people. He gave it over to Satan. We are going to take it back from him. That's what God wants to do. And that's why it says there in Revelation 5 and 9, that, "And they reign upon the earth." Why is it going to take them so long to figure this out? Why is it going to take the saints that? It'll be a necessity, that's why. You'll either do something or you'll die. Right? It is so important. Well, the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Right? Well, Psalm 149:6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. They execute vengeance upon the nations. Ooh, is there going to come a time when this, yeah, absolutely. Those judgments in the book of Revelation are coming out of people's mouths. Execute vengeance upon the nations. Punishments upon the peoples. You mean God wants to use his saints to do such things? Absolutely. Bind their kings. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever, what does that not cover? Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Do we want to bind them from doing everything that they do? No, because obviously God has ordained them to at least some people bring people to their crosses, stop evildoers, chasten his children. We don't want to stick our nose into everything, but there is quite a few things that would hinder the working of God and the prosperity of our lives, so on and so forth, that we should exercise authority over. Praise be to God. And their nobles with fetters of iron, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. Now that means, who is supposed to be reigning upon the earth? Saints, right? Yep, praise be to God. And to execute upon them the judgment. In fact, history shows us how the dominion, his people, brought an end to kingdoms. You know, God is going to use Babylon, world Babylon, to persecute the saints. Some are going to escape that dominion because the scepter of the wicked shall not rest on the lot of the righteous, the Bible says. Some are going to escape that dominion. In fact, they're going to be on the other end of this whole stick. They're going to be over there exercising authority over the nations. And why is God judging the nations so harshly in the book of Revelation in the last 8 years? Because they have been persecuting the saints and killing the saints. So judgment is being exercised against them because they're killing the saints and executing the saints. Remember, Jesus came as a lamb, but this time he's coming as a lion. And remember this too, that he's coming in you and he's coming in me. Exercise this dominion as King of Kings. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord. All of his saints. That's from the greatest to the least, right? Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. I was a baby Christian. I just didn't have any more sense than to read that Bible and believe it. You know, I was casting out demons as a baby Christian. I was excited about it, you know. People would come to me, and I knew nothing hardly. You don't have to know a lot to do this. You just need to believe. And yeah, we make some mistakes as we're going along. We sometimes, you know, even get a little bit out of God's will, but it don't matter. He wants us to know that we have that authority so much that he's going to honor it. You know, you can cast a demon out of somebody that the demon has been, they've been turned over to the demons because they won't repent. And guess what will happen? You'll cast it out. It'll turn around and come back in there. You ever had them tell you that? I got a right to this vessel. Sometimes they're telling the truth. you can cast them out. They'll come back. Jesus said so. We just read it. If they came back when Jesus cast them out, they can do it when you're doing it. Up to that person. Put something in there. Don't leave it an empty, swept vessel for them to come back and make a home out of, right? We've been given authority. I'll just try this verse on you just a little bit here. This is in Ephesians chapter 1. And 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? What is that? Well, that's exactly what he's wanting us to know. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to we who believe? According to that working of the strength of his might, hallelujah, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So it's already done. And made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. There it is. Not only the human dominions, but the principalities and powers and so on and so forth. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Humans and non-humans, humans and demons. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him to be the head. So he's not the feet, he's the head. But he put all this underneath the feet. Remember Daniel's vision, of course, about the image of the beast. Well, the image of the beast is about to meet the image of Christ. And that's us, according to the scriptures. And the feet of Daniel's vision was the end time vision. Those 10 toes were the ones at the end time. And the feet of Jesus represent the end time saints. And, you know, I know that you can see the body as a corporate body, but also you can see this as a time thing, a time sequence, right? So the feet of Jesus are about to meet the feet of the beast, and we already know who wins. He put all things in subjection under his feet. He's the head. He put it all under his feet. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So we're the body, and there's the feet too. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you can see this in a couple of ways. One, there is a body that's about to rise up on this earth. And underneath the feet of that body that rises up is going to be this world. All the demons that rule it. Yep. And Satan trembles before these people. You have dominion over Satan. I want to ask you that David had an army. David had an army. I was realizing that I was fighting, you know, at nighttime a lot, waking up early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning, and doing spiritual warfare. And the Lord said to me, he said, David had an army. I says, okay, Lord, I'm going to get them. We sure need them now. So I'm asking you, saints, do your spiritual warfare. Come against the works of Satan. Fight against him. Take away his dominion. I'll share a couple of revelations here with you that are just awesome, and I want to share some more about spiritual warfare. This revelation was given to Deborah Horton. She called it the attack of the many-headed Hydra. Woke up around 4:43 this morning. That was the 6th, on the 6th, from a warning dream. Part I remember is that I was in the bottom floor of a large building with a long hall somewhere up north. What came to me when I read that was the UN General Assembly building, which is north of where Deborah lives, literally. Interesting. It has a long hall. It is a large building. And you'll understand how this fits as I go on. She said, I thought I knew where I was within the building and that I could go down a certain hallway to reach my destination, although I don't know what my destination was. Okay, that's superfluous. As we get on, you'll see. I walked. I had a cul-de-sac. The building was like a maze, but it was no accident that I had gone down that hallway, because I saw there, what I saw there was a huge fish tank, and swimming in it was a hydra. So many heads that I couldn't count them. It was primarily yellow, with other snake-like markings on its skin, and just raring to be released. It looked at me with evil in its eyes, bumped up against the glass over and over. Interesting, a hydra. What's a hydra? Well, in Greek mythology, hydra was a serpent / dragon. It was, according to mythology, the guardian to the entrance to the underworld, which pretty well fits the seven-headed dragon of Revelation 12. Anybody that enters into that is going to hell. I mean, this seven-headed dragon has the entrance to the underworld, the entrance to the hell. And just as the dragon, called the old serpent, thought to devour the man-child but failed, Hydra was raised up to destroy Hercules, but instead he destroyed it with the sword. So here you got the many-headed dragon, Revelation 12, and the men, dragon Revelation 12 is against the man-child, seeking to destroy the man-child, and the Hydra was seeking to destroy Hercules. And many heads could have a secondary meaning of many deceptions trying to take out the man-child and the woman. No, Hydra was raised up for the purpose of destroying Hercules. And so the dragon in Revelation 12 raised up for the purpose of destroying the man-child, and, let me say, after the man-child, and once the man-child's out of the way, the woman. And, you know, Deb read this for me, and she said, Robin did a study of what the... version is that yellow is the color of leprosy, and it represents being in a spiritually dead condition. I would say leprosy represents being full of sin, being eaten alive by sin, right? Oh, that was interesting. Interesting note there. Before I go on, I'd like to share some speculative notes some of the brethren sent me. In other words, we don't know if it's true, but it certainly seems important or interesting, right? Concerning the coming of the serpent god to attempt to devour the man-child before the tribulation starts, right? Let me just share a few of these thoughts that people have sent me. Deb said it could be another indication the Son of Perdition company will be born on the winter solstice, which is approximately 12:21, day when darkness overwhelms the light. At that, the winter solstice. That's the longest night, right? It's the darkness is overwhelming, conquering the light. That's not happening. I don't know what is. Of course, this is reported to be the last day of the Mayan calendar, that 12:21. That's interesting, isn't it? I would say so. When Kerr and I were talking, it occurred to us that the Mayan calendar is based on religion, as is our calendar. And what would be more important to them than the return of their god? Well, that's the focus of the Bible, right? The return of our god, right? So why wouldn't it be the focus of what is actually a holy book for the Mayans? The winter solstice is also the day when the days begin to grow longer again. Or let me say this, or when the light begins to overcome the darkness. Praise be to God. That's interesting, isn't it? You ever thought about the solstices in that way? You know, I'm sure that's a symbol for us from the Lord. And Brother Kendall said this. He said, just some things that have come to mind. The Mayan god is, or one of them, I think, a serpent. Dream of a serpent with many heads could be corporate. The north, to me, because she was looking in the north, right? All this, another application here. The north, to me, is the constellation Dracos. It circles the northern star above all the 12 zodiac signs, which also represent the 12 tribes, right? Satan's corporate body is to be released. Whether this is just an individual happening, whether it's the dragon seeking to devour the man-child before the tribulation. Why do I say that? Some people may not understand that. Let me just say that the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child before the woman goes into the wilderness. When the woman goes into the wilderness, it gives us a timing that she's there, 3.5 years. So that's the tribulation period. The dragon is now attempting to devour the child, but the child was caught up to the throne of God. And what does that represent? That anointing that we're talking about, that throne anointing that kings received. They were called God's anointed. So let me say that before the anointing, the dragon is there waiting to devour that child. And we know he will fail. To God. That dragon represents, folks, a lot of people around that child seeking to do it in, whether you talk about in the beast or the harlot, they're both part of the beast. And they're seeking to do that child in because Satan wants to do away with that child before the Lord releases him with that anointing. You know, Isaiah 14 and 13, and thou settest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. And of course, Satan has been trying to rule over the people of God, and our job is to cast him down. Remember what Jesus said? I beheld Satan cast down as out of heaven, right? Serpent religion was very prevalent in ancient times, and Dracos, the dragon, is Satan's sign, setting himself up to rule above the 12, he being the 13th. Interesting thoughts. We know that that's exactly what Satan wants to do, and if it happens to you, it's going to be your fault because you need to get the scriptures and find out. He doesn't have any right to do that. The Lord took it away. Now, he bound the strong man, told you to sick him, you know. Anyway, Kemp said this, by the way, since in the dream it was up north somewhere, and Willard and I hope to visit the kids in Maryland during the last week or so of December, this may indicate the planned timing of the attack. She was seeing this as a possible, another possible attack upon the man-child's timing. That could be. I can't say no. Possibility. Interesting time when the darkness has conquered the light as much as it's going to conquer it. Then things start turning around and the days start growing longer and light begins to conquer. Well, what would be that? You know, that timing when God's saints take authority over and dominion over Satan. Well, do we need to start doing that? Absolutely. It's already written. It's already given. You know, And she goes on to say, but then again, we have the winter solstice around the 21st and the Mayan calendar prediction. Right? So I'm going to go back to the dream here. Then a man walked over to me. I knew he was in charge of the Hydra, meaning he represents the corporate head of the world Antichrist body, that seven-head, ten-horned dragon, right? Which gathers in the UN. What gathers in the UN? The head gathers in the UN. And that came in what I believe was the UN building, where the UN Hydra, you know, was ready to be released upon the world. That's the head. He was in charge of the Hydra. So this is the head, right? Remember, there is a head in Christ's body on the earth, and there is a head in Antichrist's body upon the earth. Right? Lord rules through men, rules through people. People can't take their own dominion. God gives dominion. Him that overcometh, he will give authority, right? Make sure that the people that you're submitting to are people that are overcomers. How can you tell? Well, because they're obeying the word of God. They have authority and they have power. They don't have show any signs of that. Well, get out and get away from them because they just have a form of godliness and deny the power of. From such, turn away. That's a command of the Lord. If you don't do it, well, then you're going to have to reap the consequences, right? And I saw in my mind that he was looking forward to releasing the Hydra so it could attack another man. So now we just left a corporate man here who's the head of the Antichrist body in the UN, and that is to be released to attack another man. Do you remember Revelation 12? Who is the other man that the Hydra is going to attack? Well, it's the man-child, right? The corporate head of the Christ body, the man-child. Revelation 12 already tells us this whole story, so it just fits this dream so nicely. She said, I had a quick vision of the Hydra having been released, slithering down the hallway, hissing with all of its heads moving and twisting towards me, and that I was the man he wanted to attack, even though I was still me. Wait a minute, how could she be a man and be a woman at the same time? Well, because the man-child is the head of the woman, the body. The woman. He's the head of the woman. Just like David was the head of Jerusalem. And David, being the head over Jerusalem, being the bride, was also the head over the other 11 tribes, right? So, the man-child is the head of the woman, represented by Deb. They are one body. Yeah. Then, the vision ended. I knew how to lay him because I could still read its mind somehow. I pretended that I didn't know his plans were really for me, and I advised him. I can't recall the exact words, but they were something like, well, you can't do everything at once. Stick to one thing at a time, and you'll get it all done. Said, as I was saying this, I saw a short flight of steps that ran up beside the fish tank on its left with a door at the top. So the cul-de-sac did have a way out. And let me say, folks, that so will those who escape the dragon. And the way is up. It's heavenly, right? It was upstairs. I knew my comment would keep the man in line with his original plan that he had plotted out in such great detail and relish. He wanted to savor the moment when the Hydra was released. These people hate God. They hate everything about God. They hate the man-child. They are going to use the beast system to try to destroy the man-child and the woman. He wanted to watch what it did and not miss 1 second. And I woke up. Well, remember that Deb reminded the beast head that they must stick to the plan to destroy the man-child first so that they can then destroy the woman. She was safe because he had to go and destroy the man-child first according to the scriptures and then destroy the woman because the man-child would be out of the way, right? And, of course, then her seed in the wilderness, too, was to be destroyed. So basically, what this Hydra was for was to destroy the woman and her seed. But first, it had to destroy the man-child. And she put him off by telling him, look, first things first, and just one thing at a time. That's interesting, isn't it? You can think this stuff up, folks. So let's see the story. The story is right there in Revelation. Revelation 12 and 4 says, and the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered. When she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations. Notice this, folks. Rule all the nations. It said that of David, too, by the way, friends. Rule the nations. Rule all the nations. Remember that. This is what we've been talking about. Well, why is this man-child going to rule all the nations? Because he's taking seriously what's being written in the plain written word. And because he's an overcomer. To him that overcometh, will I give authority over the nations, right? With a rod of iron. Ooh, wow, that sounds like he is going to have the authority to judge, to bring judgment. Exactly the way Moses the man-child did. Exactly the way David the man-child did, exactly, on and on. You know, all the types of the man-child, they were given authority. We're given authority. It says it in the book. We just read it. A rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. All right, so that is that anointing, that throne anointing. By the way, David's throne was called the throne of the Lord. Wow. And he sat on the throne of the Lord to rule for him. That was true of Jesus, and is still true of Jesus in whatever body he chooses to manifest himself in. And he is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He chooses to manifest himself in those people who overcome the world and manifest that 30, 60, and yes, 100-fold fruit, Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. So, what was to go after the man-child first, and now, and his hope, of course, then, would be to take out the woman. Well, he didn't take out the man-child. Man-child just got authority. And that's when he became really dangerous to the dragon, the beast, right? 7 heads and the 10 horns, right? And verse 13 says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, by the way, who did that? They overcame him. That's right. Just like those first disciples went forth and Jesus saw Satan cast down to the earth, right? When the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the 2 wings of the great eagle. You know, this persecution is going to make overcomers out of the woman. Isn't that interesting? Why? Well, I can tell you one reason why is because it's necessity for them now to exercise their dominion. They have not because they ask not. They're going to understand because of the man-child's ministry to them, which is the same as Jesus' ministry to those first disciples. They're going to understand the need for them to take authority. If they don't take authority, they're going to die. And even worse than that, it'd be spiritual death, which is eternal, right? And there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished a time and times and a half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. Right. And then, down in verse 17, and waxed wroth with the woman, and went away to make war with the rest of her seed. Why? He couldn't do anything with her. But the rest of her seed, that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. And what's the testimony of Jesus? The spirit of prophecy. Not the letter. Spirit of prophecy. They keep the commandments of God. Why is the dragon after those who keep the commandments of God? They're the only ones that are in any danger. They're the only ones that are any danger to him. These are his mortal enemies. He's already got the rest of the crowd, rest of the loosely called Christians and so on and so forth. He's already got them. Okay, so we see in this scenario here from Revelation 12:4 on through 17, see that the dragon try to take out the man-child before the tribulation starts, and failing to do that, I have no way he can touch the man-child, so he will try to take out the woman. But being led by the man-child in the wilderness for 3.5 years, just like Jesus led the first disciples in the wilderness for 3.5 years, is going to give this woman knowledge, authority, fruit, obedience, keep the commandments of God, right? Wow, this is awesome, you know? Awesome story coming at us here. We're in the time now when the dragon is attempting to take out man-child. Of course, he's using the wicked people around the man-child to attempt to do this. God. There was more to the beginning of the dream that I can't recall. He remembered, of course, those things that not just made for her spiritual man to understand, but even for us. So she remembered what she needed to remember, right? The image of the Hydra was just so focused in my mind. I asked for a word, and my finger came down on the heading at the top of page 229 of the ASV, Teacher's Edition. Because I looked up. They take Micah's priest and images. So that's where her finger came down on. It's this description at the end of the page. They take Micah's priest and images. Well, what could that have to do with this? Well, I'll tell you. They here is men of the tribe of Dan. In this text, one who was a priest in the house of Micah. Micah means who resembles God. He was a priest in the house of those that resemble God. This priest was an apostate because of his idols, and he joined himself to the tribe of Dan. In other words, he left the house of Micah, that is, who resembles God. And when the tribe of Dan came there, he joined himself to them. By the way, Dan is no longer listed among the tribes of Israel in Revelation 7:4 on down, because like Judas, he was one of the 12 patriarchs that was a stumbling block. But Genesis 49:16 says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Judas was one of 12, right? Dan was one of the 12, too, the 12 patriarchs. Dan shall be a serpent in the way. There it is, right there, a serpent in the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels. so that his rider falleth backward. Well, who was it that Judas bit? Well, it was the flesh of Jesus. The horse represents the beast under the dominion of the rider. Jesus was the white horse rider in his day. The man-child is the white horse rider in our day. So we see a repetition of history happening here, you see. So what we see is one who had a great calling to be a priest of the Lord became a Judas because of his idols. Ever seen that happen? Oh, yes, we have. In fact, I've written in my Bible, a certain person that raised up a faction against us. I wrote it there years before when the Lord told me that this person would be a Judas. All this time, and I really haven't told people who that was, you know. It's very interesting. I knew it before it happened, and it happened. You know, Jesus knew who Judas was, what he was going to do. Funny how the Lord repeats history like that. And so Deb went on to say this. She said, I think this attack is like Herod's attack, who killed all the male babies to make sure he got the right one. Well, Herod's destruction of the male children by the sword was an attempt to distinguish, or extinguish, I should say, the chosen man-child, just as it was when Pharaoh tried to kill Moses, the man-child, by killing the children. Right. So, praise be to God. The Lord is so, it's just so interesting watching, you know, history being filled, you know, and repetition of it happening in our day. Lord. My prayers after this dream were that the Hydra's heads would eat each other. Heads would shrivel up and fall off, and their fangs would fall out. Well, God has a purpose for the Hydra. He has a purpose for the dragon with the seven heads. It must be fulfilled. However, the truth is, the Lord is going to raise up a rebellion in their one world order, and they will devour one another when the time comes. It's just scriptural. As the seven-headed beast makes war against the woman, God will cause a civil war in their midst so that they will indeed devour each other. And who is it that's going to be exercising this authority? That's right. You understand it. The saints of God. We've read. Find their kings. They'll do whatever is necessary to destroy the enemy armies coming against them. Well, she said, then I prayed about the man that his plans would be turned back on his own head. His plans would be revealed so that they would turn to dust and be blown away. I prayed that the Lord's protection over the man-child. Well, that's a good thing. Pray for the Lord's protection over the man-child. You can pray for the destruction of this head of the beast, the UN leadership of the world beast kingdom, which is all of the world that is lost. Everybody that's lost in the whole wide world is a member of the seven-head, ten-horned dragon in whom Satan lives. But all those things have to happen on time, according to the scriptures, right? So you don't want to destroy the beast until the beast brings the rebellious saints to their cross. That's his job, you know. It would be like throwing Satan in the bottomless pit before he's finished perfecting the saints. Did you know that he has a job to do concerning that? He certainly does. The Lord is not leaving anything to chance, and the Lord is not fighting a battle with the devil, never knowing who's going to win. The Lord always wins. He sees the end from the beginning. The devil is a created being. He can't beat God. This whole thing has been put together to prove who it is that really loves the Lord and will overcome their flesh, and in so doing overcome the beast, right? This is going to prove that. It's not an experiment. The Lord sees the end from the beginning. He knows who it is that is his, but this place still has to be built. It still has to come to pass, right? The Lord will protect the man-child by that throne anointing. So, will he use Deb's dreams? Oh, will he use Deb's dream? Yes, he will. Will he use Deb's authority that she is taking against the principalities and powers that are coming against the man-child? Certainly he will. He'll use yours, and you should be praying this too. Casting down these principalities and powers, conquering them. God is going to use you to bring it to pass. She went on to say, I pray that the Lord himself would gird up the man-child. You need to pray for the protection of the man-child and for the strengthening of the man-child and for the anointing. All these things are going to come to pass through your prayers of faith, right? And even the enemy is going to be conquered. Who? This honor have all his saints. 49. God's going to use them to bring to pass what is written. Wasn't it true in Jesus' time? Thus it behooves us to fulfill all things, right? I mean, he was fulfilling the scriptures. He was telling his disciples to fulfill the scriptures. And so, folks, do spiritual warfare. Please, please do spiritual warfare against the enemy. You'll see victories when you do that. Not just in your own little circle. It's very, very important on the world scene. We win. No, you can't stop the tribulation. No, you can't kill the beast before it starts. I mean, there are people that they don't understand that we want to fulfill God's will here. That's what we're here for, you know. There is a purpose. God already spoke into existence all these things that are written in the book of Revelation. He spoke them into existence. Now, how is he going to bring them to pass? Now, he, through the prophet Jeremiah, told the children of Israel they were going to be in bondage for 70 years. Daniel's reading along here, the prophet Jeremiah, and he discovers, uh-oh, we're almost to 70 years. So what did he start doing? He started fasting and praying. Bring to pass what was written there. Well, it was already written. Why did he have to do that? Because God uses people to bring to pass his word. And you and I, according to Revelation 5 and 9, are going to do what? Bring to pass his will. We're here for. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, that was the larger corporate manifestation of the dragon attack on the man-child. But the day after we received this dream, we received another one. This time, it wasn't the corporate manifestation. It was a local manifestation. Wow. And these two fit together so neatly that we just put them together, you know. We call this one Serpent Sneaks into the Camp. This is by Jackie. Jackie received this dream. 7th, the day after the dream I just shared. This is a more local manifestation. It's really one serpent instead of all the serpents, right? So let me share this with you. Last night, I had another dream about a serpent in the camp. The last one I had was confirmed by Frank's dream of serpents in the camp causing faction. I don't know if you remember Frank's dream or not, but this was some time back. Frank's dream was about entering a house full of serpents that were trying to, but they could not harm him. This happened when he inadvertently joined an internet meeting in which a secret plot was being hatched to destroy me and UBM. He told me he was the one who was there, and he was very disgusted, and he revealed this plot to me, and it failed. Praise be to God. Very interesting. So anyway, she too, saw this spirit that she believes has something to do with faction, and I believe that's at least part of it, She said, "I was in what looked like a huge bathroom with other ladies. There were pools of water all around. I was looking in the mirror, taking off my eye makeup." Deb looked at this and she said, "This could symbolize coming more into the image of Christ by removing unclean spirits that cloud our vision." And the verse she gave was 2 Kings 9 and 30. And then Jehu was come to Jezreel. Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her eyes and attired her head and looked out of the window. Now, Jezebel, painted eyes brings to mind seeing like the Babylonish religions do, right? A harlot, the Babylonish religions. "Then I saw something slither on the ground," Jackie said, "and I turned to see what it was. I saw a snake going into a pool with a mother and child. They didn't seem to know it was there. Snake turned and looked at me because it sensed that I recognized it." Yeah. Well, when the deceiving spirit's cover is blown, they leave, because the scripture says the wicked shoot from darkness at the upright. When the serpent entered Judas, he was revealed and went to the factious leaders of his day to be a traitor unto Jesus. And this has happened before, and it will happen to the man child too. Has happened to the man child too. Also, serpent comes hidden as a deceiving angel of light, like the false revival movement. And when people recognize it, they're not deceived, are they? Its power comes from the fact that it stays hidden. God does wonderful things, like he sends dreams to you to reveal what's happening. Sometimes you find yourself right in the middle of something and you say, "Well, I remember now in the dream, the Lord told me this is going to happen, and we discovered in the dream that this is what we were supposed to do. Praise the Lord. This happened this time too." And she said, "Then it came out of that pool and went into another pool with a lady in it." Now, what was the difference between the two pools? Well, the first pool had a mother with child. This pool was just a lady. Because we did spiritual warfare when we received this dream, we saw it fail. And the serpent moved on. Serpent ultimately found a place with the fruitless, in that they had no child or man child. And I believe this is the factious. God is gathering those who cause stumbling and those who do iniquity into bundles to burn them, as the parable in Matthew 13 tells us. Birds of a feather flock together. Yes, those demons will wreak havoc among them. But when they try to do it among the righteous, those that know the word of God and are going to be obedient to the word of God, and they're going to be seen for who they are, in other words, discernment will reveal the trickery, the plot, and God does that because they are righteous. He doesn't reveal the plot to the wicked. He just lets the devil wreak havoc among them. So the devil goes and finds a more easier victim. Right? He tries the righteous. He fails. He goes after an easier victim. Right? Praise be to God. And, so the best thing for those victims to do is repent and do it quickly, because God is about to loose that hydra upon them worldwide. Repent while you still can, saints. Repent. This is going to be a fierce war against the saints. Many are going to lose their lives because they didn't act earlier. to exercise authority over their own flesh and the devil, right? And Jackie said, I knew I had to do spiritual warfare. Woke up binding and loosing the serpent spirit. I think the snake sensed I recognized it because I have the gift of discerning of spirits. Please interpret this dream and let me know. Yep, and well, we did. Jackie's listening, right? It goes on to say that it might be to warn us of factious spirits again. Yep, and also, I would say, false revival spirits. Because we have seen that happen too, just now. It might be to warn you of factious spirits again. And I will keep you in my prayers, she says. It's Luke 10 and 19. Amen. Because I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and shall any wise hurt you. Praise God. So, anyway, after that, this morning, I, when thinking about warnings of a Judas-type attack, I asked for a verse, and I got Proverbs 6 and 5. Listen to this. And this can happen by accident. See, be it unto you according to your faith. If you believe God will answer you in this way or many other ways, as far as some kind of a fleece or on straws or whatever, you know, be it unto you according to your faith, Jesus said. You ask God for a sign, he'll give it to you. Proverbs 6 and 5 says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. The fowler is one who tries to capture a bird in a trap. Let me say something to you about traps. Folks, seek God. Seek his face. Seek to look upon Jesus in the Word of God. So many Christians are out there seeking on the internet to find wisdom in some kind of a shortcut. And there's so many traps out there. The internet is a cesspool. The overwhelming majority of prophets out there are false prophets. Overwhelming majority. You know what's truth. You know it's in the Word. You know you can trust Jesus. You know you can trust those ministers in the Bible to minister to you. You know they're all telling you the truth. Go and look there. Look on the example that Jesus gives us as a true minister of God. Look on the examples of the ones who walked with him and learned from him and also spoke words that have a perfect numeric pattern in them, a miracle from God. You know everything you see in there is the truth. That's where you need to be looking, more than anywhere else, right there. Get familiar with the scriptures. You'll hear the true voice of God. So when I was thinking about the Judas attack, the Lord gave me that verse. Deliver yourself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. What's one way we can do that? Well, because we've been given authority. When God tells us what is the devil's plan, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. Why is he telling you? So you can do something about it if there's something called for, right? So I consider this a really good foundation for spiritual warfare. Wouldn't you? Very good foundation. Immediately after reading this, my eyes were directed across the page to verse 19, and it said, a false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Wow, that's interesting. You know, there are wicked out there that are trying to divide people unto themselves, trying to capture Christians. They feel like they can't be really useful unless they have authority over God's people. That's what they seek for. The only people you can trust, folks, are those that don't seek for authority over God's people. They haven't sought it. They don't want it. They're not interested in it. But the Lord gives it to them because they can be trusted. Like trusting a eunuch around your wife, right? Don't have any interest, so therefore he's qualified. We can use him. Well, a few minutes later, I received more spiritual warfare foundation. The Lord gave me Psalm 144 and 7. That's a good number, isn't it? 144 and 7. God's 144. Stretch forth thy hand from above. Rescue me. Deliver me out of great waters. What's the waters represent? Peoples, tribes, tongue. It's the dragon, right? Deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens. No, not the kind that come from outer space, the kind that are aliens to Christianity. Oh, yeah, they're there. They don't really belong in it, but they're there, right? They're aliens. They're invaders, right? Rescue me out of the hands of aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing. What's the right hand of falsehood? Right hand, of course, is something that does works. You have false works. So there are lying signs and wonders out there. Do you know, too, that last year and the year before last, we got dreams and visions about a false man-child coming for the real man-child? Did that happen in history? Of course. The false virgin birth way back at Babel and the true virgin birth. False comes before the real. Do you know the false revival movement came before the real revival? And the false man-child is coming before the true man-child. Now, we've had some of these people revealed to us. And they do lying signs and wonders, too. They're up there and people are promoting them. Oh, this is them. This is the great ones right here, you know. They think. But, folks, that's all going to be disproven very easily. One thing you can tell about them, folks, is they don't obey the word of God, and they teach others not to, too. They're not respectful of obedience to the word. They always make excuses. Some of them say, well, the Lord told me to do it this way. No, they're liars, because the Lord is the one that told you to do it his way, and it's his way is written in the scriptures. So when they depart from the scriptures and they say, the Lord told me, or God's doing a new thing, something like that, you know these are false man-childs. Their lying signs and wonders are for the purpose of giving confirmation to demon spirits, like the Kundalini, like the Jezebel, like the factious witchcraft spirits. Verse 9 says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Thou art he that giveth salvation unto kings, who rescueth David, there's the David man-child, rescueth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens. His mouth speaketh deceit. In other words, these are kind of what the Bible calls false brethren. Remember, Paul was delivered from false brethren. His mouth speaketh deceit. How do you know they're false? Because they have a form of godliness, they deny the power thereof, or because they have a name that liveth, but they are dead. Because they're not overcoming, and there's no promise for those who won't overcome, and because they want authority and dominion and prestige, but they don't want to overcome and go through the door. Everybody that doesn't come through the door but comes up some other way These are thieves and robbers. They're stealing a position of authority that is not theirs. That's what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus was the one that had the true authority. He said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. And now look around you, folks. See them. Oh, yeah, they're great. They want to be great in the eyes of everybody. They have selfish ambition. They got monster egos out there to take authority that hasn't been given to them. Yep, these are false man-childs. Yep, they'll do lying signs and wonders. Kind of like the false revival movement. When you followed behind them to find out these people that they prayed for and healed, you found out these people weren't healed at all. If they did, it was momentary for the purpose of glorifying some false spirit. And, of course, it goes on, his mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Another brother received this, 41 and 8. For mine eyes are unto thee, O Lord, O Jehovah the Lord. In thee do I take refuge. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snare which they have laid for me. The wicked are laying these snares for the righteous, but the Bible says they're going to fall into it themselves. And from the gins, or traps, of the workers of iniquity. And here's verse 10. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst I, with all, escape. Amen. It's going to happen, folks. It's written. The Lord just neatly gives us these promises by supernatural gift. And here's some more verses that I received during this time of spiritual warfare. I received them that same kind of way. 2 Kings 23 and 24. Moreover, them that had familiar spirits and the wizards and the teraphim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. Josiah was a good type of man-child in that he put all this out of the bride. He cleaned up the bride. And that was Jerusalem, right? That he might confirm the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah, so Josiah was a great reformer, cleaned up the bride from all of these familiar spirits and wizards, teraphim and idols and abominations against the Lord. He got the bride ready for the Lord, didn't he? And this ought to be the job of every minister, actually, is to clean up God's people. Anybody that don't want to repent their idolatry, their sins, they ought to show them the door. Praise be to God. God's done that. God's done that. He may not be through. Praise be to God. Revelation hasn't started yet. May not be through, but praise be to God. He is definitely cleaning house. How many dreams have we had about that? Cleaning house. And here's another one that he gave me. That gave me Jonah 3 and 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil which he said he would do unto them. You know, when God sends you a warning, you know, and you got serpents crawling into the house and all this, what do you do about it? Right? You just say, well, that's what God says is going to happen. Oh, no, because God gives you warning so you can do something about it. This is what spiritual warfare is all about, right? Read this again. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil which he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. He said he would do it, but he didn't do it. Why? Because he got the results that he wanted in his people, right? This is just like in Jonah and Nineveh's case. Foundation for deliverance is confessing sins and repentance, and in some cases, fasting. Praying, right? So, I mean, that's what happened in Nineveh, and God turned from releasing his wrath on that bunch of people. So, and of course, if you've done this, if you start into spiritual warfare, if you confess your sins before the Lord and repent of them, and you're fasting and praying, then, and I'm not saying you have to fast and pray every time. I mean, you know, you can exercise authority for sure, but I was talking about, you know, coming together as a bunch of people to destroy the works of the devil. That you can fast, you can pray, you can confess your sins, and all this is a good foundation for spiritual warfare. Because then you know you can have faith for spiritual warfare because you're on good ground with God, right? And 1 John 3:20 says, because if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, knows all things. Listen, if you've got a conviction of sin in your heart, God knows more than that. He knows everything you've done wrong. So he goes on to say, verse 21, he said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. So what do? Well, you make sure everything's right between you and the Lord. When you begin spiritual warfare, be sure you do this. Confess your sins. Fast and pray. Now begin your spiritual warfare. So if our heart condemn us not, we've taken care of everything and between us and the Lord, and we're in a good position to exercise authority because we're bold towards God, right? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Some people don't give any credit to having clean hands. Right? Remember? Ye shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands. You want to do spiritual warfare that counts for people? Make sure your hands are clean. Make sure you are not doing evil works or selfish works. Fine. Make sure your hands are clean. If there's any uncleanness there, well, go to the Lord. Get it right. Then do your spiritual warfare. The devil laughs at some people. You know, they live in sin and they expect to have authority over the devil. But the Lord says, to him that overcometh, I will give authority. You need to be clean. The people around you need you to be clean. You need to have power with God. You need to have power over the devil. And for that, you need to be clean because you need to have boldness. Amen? All right. God will forgive you. Go to him. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Glory be to God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Ooh, I tell you, this is one of the big things, you know, Mark 11:24. All things whatsoever you pray, ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. And goes on to say, give one another. So, here he tells us, love one another, even as he gave us commandment. So you want to have power in spiritual warfare? Love one another. Don't be trying to use witchcraft on anybody. Wicked, it's been revealed to us through dreams that the wicked have tried to use witchcraft on us. Even voodoo. You know what voodoo is? Voodoo is a form of witchcraft in which people target other people. Sometimes even use scripture to try to target other people. Other people that are not doing anything wrong. It's witchcraft. Like turning people over to the devil because they don't like them, because they're angry with them, because they want to consider that they're sinners because it makes them feel better. Well, they just want to bring them down so they bring themselves up. But, you know, that's witchcraft. That's voodoo. It was revealed to us that factious people were exercising witchcraft and voodoo against us. We stood in spiritual warfare and broke it. Praise be to God. Don't think it can't happen. It does happen. Verse 24 says, "And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him." Boy, I tell you, if you're abiding in him and him in you, you got power. That's part of having clean hands. Abiding in him. How do you abide in him? You keep his commandments. You're not being obedient, you're not abiding in him. You're not repenting and believing, you're not abiding in him. And he goes on to say, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us." How do you know the Spirit of God? Well, it's not the spirit of Antichrist. It's not the spirit of hatred. It ain't the spirit of criticism. It ain't the spirit of lust. It isn't the spirit of, we can tell more about what it isn't, what it is. Spirit which he gave us. We have to love one another. We have to be the hands of God. We have to be clean. We have to do spiritual warfare if we don't want to be taken out. I believe in the days to come, you're going to have to learn to do this constantly without ceasing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get together with other believers, have prayer meetings, and of course, not just pray, but do spiritual warfare. Anytime you gather together to pray, do spiritual warfare. Exercise authority. Tell the devil what you want him to do. If you're going to be binding and loosing, what does that mean? It means tell him what you don't want him to do and tell him what you do want him to do. Bind and loose. Do it. You know, when you come together in a bunch of people, a lot of times people think about good things to pray or good things to exercise authority in that you don't think about. But the fact that you're devoting this time to come together to do spiritual warfare, to come against the devil, and to exercise your authority is awesome. It's just awesome. You need to do it. Find some good prayer partners. Come together with people that are true to the Word of God. You don't need to put a bunch of sinners in there with you. It's just going to dilute your prayers, right? So, people that are true to the Word of God, come together and pray and exercise authority and do spiritual warfare against the principalities and powers. And if any of you have demons, confess it and have the folks pray over you. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, right? Let them pray over you. Fight the brethren. Humble yourself. You need the dominion of God in your life. The kingdom of God comes when demons are cast out, right? And not only cast out of your life, but cast out of the body. Cast out of dominion anywhere they are. We need to be demon chasers. And if you're not chasing them, just like Jesus said, they're going to be chasing you. Amen. The people of God need you at this time. When they need an army to stand for them. You see these people taking over the airways. You see these reprobates on the internet. You see these people doing these things. Come against these works of the devil. Cast them down. Ruin their works in one way or another, any way that the Lord shows you to do it, you know. Fight. David had an army. I'm not talking about myself being a David, but I am David, and God likes to use me a lot in dreams and visions and stuff. I'm not claiming anything for myself other than all the promises of God. But be a part of the army. You know, fight. You know, make up the hedge. In other words, make sure there's no gaps for the devil to come through. One way you do that is prayer, spiritual warfare, exercising your dominion, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Oh, praise be to God. You know, saints, the Lord needs your help. He wants to use you. He chose a body in the earth to do this. Yes, he is the arm that gives strength to the hand. But according to Isaiah 53, you're the hand. Don't resist the devil. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Be used of the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Gather together. Fight. You know, if your family gathers together, if you got, please make time, you know, to gather your family together and to pray against the problems that you see in the rest of your family and in your local family and in your church and et cetera, et cetera. You know, do exercise your authority. Pray. You know people around you that need help. You know their problems. Don't stand around and criticize them. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. Right? Take care of it. You know about it. Take care of it. You got authority. Let the Lord use you to bring people into the kingdom by combined prayer, binding and loosing, you know. The devil has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Light of glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ wouldn't dawn upon them. Loose them from their bondage. You know, not just pray and ask God to do it. Exercise authority over the devil that's keeping them in bondage, just blinding their eyes. Exercise authority. You know, I've spoken things that came to pass years later sometimes, but it was something that was out there. It wasn't going to be not fulfilled, because when you spoke it and you commanded it, and you decreed it, according to what the scripture says, it says, it'll happen. It shall be established unto thee. Decree it. Speak it. You know, in the scriptures, men blessed their children. They laid their hands on them. They spoke good things over them. And those things came to pass because God heard that. He believes in the blessing of your children and the blessing of others too. So, you know, do it. Say good things. Don't just speak the things that are. Speak the things that are not. Speak the things that you have commanded and decreed. Speak them. Don't speak the things that are, because you're going to destroy every prayer you ever prayed for that person. God hears you. So, repent. Become a vessel through whom the Lord used to bring about his kingdom in the lives of other people. Besides, I probably would get to sleep more at night if some of you guys out there was really praying and casting down principalities and powers, huh? Appreciate it. So, yeah, remember UBM. Remember me. And remember the brethren, you know, in your prayers. Cast down the principalities and powers. And like these brethren here, pray for the man-child. Pray for the woman. Pray for these things to come to pass. The Lord would use your prayers to bring them to pass. Yes, he's spoken it. Got methods. Don't want to ignore the methods in order to just expect God to bring it to pass without any methods, you know. So faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. Hear that? Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. You give God the faith by giving him the bricks. He'll give you the building, right? He wants you to have a part in this. He's chosen you to have a part in this. He's chosen to give you a reward for having a part in his creation. He's chosen to give you a reward. If the power comes from him, the understanding comes from him, the faith comes from him, and he wants to give you a reward. Now, isn't that neat? That's a good deal, isn't it? That's why he calls it the good news. You know, he wants to give you a reward for doing what he empowers you to do. Yeah. So please, saints, so stand up and be counted. Be a part of God's army. Fight against the principalities and powers. They can't resist you. Their strong man has already been bound. They can't resist you. Do you believe it? Well, then they can't resist you. If you don't believe it, it's just words, right? Don't try to fit in because you know how to say good prayers or whatever, because they just fall to the ground. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? Well, I mean, you're praying, exercising authority, do it as unto the Lord. You know, he's the one that sees, he's the one that will reward you. If you pray in secret, the Lord will reward you openly. Be a part of his army and receive his reward. The cumulative effect of years of doing this is powerful. The result is much larger than it would have been. See, so pray your prayers today. Do it tomorrow. Do it the next day. Get into good habits. You're going to need these for the days to come. You're going to need the habit of coming together to pray. Either with your family or with a prayer partner or with a group of people that are faithful, want to pray and want to see results for the kingdom, do this. Do this. It's a part of our calling. Amen? Amen. Decree a thing. He says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine upon thy ways. When they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up. Your words are bringing it to pass, right? A humble person, he will save. What is a humble person? That's somebody that believes the word of God. They respect the word of God. They act on the word of God. This is a humble person. He will deliver even him that is not innocent. Boy, we need that with our family members, don't we? Yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands. Decree it. Speak it out of your mouth. Amen? Oh, praise be to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you for being abundantly above, more than we can ask or think, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us abundantly above all that we can ask or think, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you that you stretch our imagination, Lord, to pray for things and to exercise authority for things that will be just awesome in the days to come. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown us that it's not all by our works, that salvation is simply coming into agreement with you and speaking it out of our mouths, Lord. Word is nigh thee in thy heart, in thy mouth, right? Praise God. So, Lord, help us. Lord, put this desire in your people. Be prayer warriors. Please, in the name of Jesus, Father, put this desire in all of us, Lord, to come together and to enjoy, to pray, and especially worship, Lord. We love to worship and pray because worshiping routs the enemy too. Lord, just like Jehoshaphat's army, when they went forth and put the razors out front, the enemy fell all over one another, killing one another off, left them alone. So, Lord, praise and confession of sin, prayer, and exercising dominion and authority, Lord. Those are all things necessary to do in any prayer meeting, Lord. We just ask you to do this, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you're working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We know you can do this. We're asking for it, Lord, an almighty move of your Spirit. We know that these are the things that happen before revivals happen. Lord, you've told us that we're coming to the end of the crucifixion of the man-child, and then the revival is going to happen. Oh, praise be to God, because that's where the revival is going to start. Of course, they're trying to start revivals all the time with false man-childs out there that aren't obedient. You can look at them and tell they're not. They're always hanging out with people that aren't obedient, and you know it. But Lord, we just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, your real revival, your holy revival, your true revival is going to be awesome. Lord, we ask you to lay the foundation with a bunch of really solid prayer warriors and really solid people that will take authority over the devil. Amen. Oh, God, thank you so much for what you're doing. So much, Father, in the name of Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all fervent desire to see your kingdom come, Lord, and to use prayer and spiritual warfare as a tool for that. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this. Thank you for working it in our brethren out there, Lord. Thank you for having them pray for me. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you so much, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. We love you. We appreciate you. We pray all the time for you. We do have spiritual warfare meetings, get-togethers, and we worship and we praise the Lord. And we exercise authority over the devil, and we have seen changes because of it. Sometimes immediate changes because of it. Don't get weary in well doing, saints. You know, God does hear your prayers. He is going to use you to bring about the kingdom. He's going to use your heart, he's going to use your mouth. So much easier to do it this way than it is to go out there and try to take care of everything that you see going wrong, you know. Some people are working with prayer, not ceasing from their works, right? Working very hard to try to keep up with things. Well, start praying. Watch how much God does. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Peace be to God.